Hello and welcome, everyone. This is Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and we are here for our monthly INE office hours, which is open today with the topic of insulin resistance and IRSBT. When we had our last call a couple of weeks ago, maybe a week and a half ago, I don't remember anymore, my time is going by so quickly, but I talked to you about the education piece and the marketing piece and putting together programs. I also talked to you about certification. All of those recordings are up on the web, and you should have gotten a notification that they were. It's possible that you didn't get a notification. We are in transition with training somebody new to take over doing our reminders and recordings and all that. So if you didn't, well, I'm telling you now that those things are on the website and in a variety of places. I'm pretty sure we did explain it. And in the meantime, also, Stacy's put up some information about certification so that you can read it and you can see what the requirements are. And I'm totally open to any questions you have about that, about the insulin resistance certification piece. We originally were planning on charging extra for it because it's a lot of extra work for us. But because of our delay in getting it going, we are going to allow you to apply for certification as long as you get everything done within a month. So by the end of April, if you've got your application in and you've got all the pieces in, then we're not going to give you an extra charge for it. But we'll be posting what all that is, and anybody that can't get it done before then, there will be an extra charge, and there will be a recertification fee to maintain it. And that's true of anything that I've ever done. I had to pay a fee, usually a very hefty fee, usually in the neighborhood of $375, for that certification piece. We'll let you know what that's going to be. And then my re-ups every year when I have to do my continuing education and all that are usually in the same neighborhood, like $300 or $400. We're not going to charge you that much. It's going to be much more reasonable and is going to provide you with a lot of benefits to stay in the certification loop. Number one being listing on our website as a certified practitioner. So if people are coming and looking, you get the advantage of my larger scope and reach at this point. And number two will be being able to continue to use the done-for-you materials. So as a certified practitioner or as a student, you can start to use the materials we've provided, but if you want to continue to do that, you need to be certified and you need to be in the process of, you need to re-up every year to be able to do that so that we can maintain the website and we can give you, more stuff and things that you can do. I look forward to having you guys out there doing this stuff because we need to reach more people. There are a lot of really sick people out there, and we have, we have a skill that can help them. And it's amazing. And when I go to conferences where people are not, not nutrition conferences necessarily, and even at the nutrition conferences, I see people just doing things to their bodies that are, it's horrendous, and we wonder why the disease rate is so high and all that. So we have a duty here, I think, to really educate people, and you have the skills. You may not feel 100% confident that, oh, my God, I'm the best in the world at this point, but you're a few steps ahead of them, and you can help so many people, and I encourage you to just step out beyond your comfort zone and start to do it, all right? So if you go to the site, there's a place, where'd it go? Oops. Oh, there it is. Yeah, so if you go to the site and you click on where it's under resources, you click on IRSBT resources. There's actually one of the things listed there is certification, and it says IRSBT certification requirements. You click that. I wonder what those little icons mean. There's a video of what I explained to you while we were on there. There's the criteria listed. There's a copy of our little certification, our little seal. We have that seal that we put on the individual certificates, and it has all the requirements and some templates and, things like that you'll need in order to do it, and then the exams and post-test login area. That's in process, and I'm going to be checking with I assigned that to someone to do that. I actually hired somebody with 33 years of experience in this field to create those tests because my time is so short. I'll go through them once she's done, make sure that she's covered all the points, and then we'll have that posted. We decided to do a post-test read to the individual modules versus one single one, just because in the future, as people are going through, you'll be able to go through and do the test while the stuff's fresh in your mind. So that'll be there. And plus, there's a lot of questions, and we wanted to make sure that we covered all the different areas as well. There won't be any test questions about the education and marketing piece, because that's not something that I feel like you need to have in order to be a good practitioner, but it's something you need to have in order for you to actually get out there and be able to do that with people. So we're not testing you on those skills. We're just testing you on the clinical skills. So if anybody has questions about any of that, feel free to raise your hand and ask, or type it into the chat, and we'll take care of it. And we're open to whatever questions are coming up for you, whatever questions about the materials, about the modules, about cases that you're working with. These are basically free-for-all open office hour question spots, and we're specifically going to devote it to the blood sugar stuff today. I know some of you are in your NEPT, and you may have other questions. We have another call next Tuesday night where we can do the more general questions, and we have those pretty much every week. Okay, so where do we begin? Who has questions? We've been through this process. We started back in November. You guys have learned a lot. There's always more to learn. And if you were to go back through each of the modules you've been through already, my guarantee is that you're going to pick up one or two tidbits in each of those videos or in each of those modules that maybe you missed before, or that just didn't get in there. Like, it just didn't settle in, and it didn't get you like, oh, yeah, I know. Now I get that. Was that there before? I don't remember that. And it's practice, and it's process, and it's practice, and it's process. And I'm teaching people that. My colleagues, for example, when I get to travel, I oftentimes meet with friends who I've had seen in a while who were graduating classes with me in various capacities, and I start talking about this stuff, and they don't remember it. They don't know it. They haven't used it to the extent that I've used it. And so don't feel bad if you've gone through the module and now you don't feel like you have the mastery of that particular set of material. Of course, you know, you can handle this. You know, you're going to get there. It's practice, 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 practice. And that's why we call it practice, right? We build up a practice. We're practitioners, right? It's because it's constant practice. So if you have any questions, *2 on your telephone keypad will raise your hand. If you don't have questions, but you'd just like to let me know where you're at, I'd love to hear a couple of shares, like where you're at with this. How comfortable are you feeling? What do you need? Do you still think you need in order to move forward? You've got a great education. I know a lot of you are already working on it and doing this with clients, and a lot more of you are on the verge where you can. So raise your hand, *2, that'll ask a question. And if you're on the web, type your question in, and I'm going to go to the chat, and we will see. So, let's see. Jane says, does NEPT certification include IRSPT, or is it separate? So, that's a great question. So, what you do is you can... if you want to go for the IRSPT, this blood sugar certification, you'll get that certification if you do those requirements, right? And then when we get to NEPT, then that's a whole different set of requirements that are required to do that. So, and that's going to be a while before you get there. We still have many months to go before that ends. So, yeah. Maria says, do we need to take the test within by the end of April? Well, I can't require you to take the test by the end of April if I don't have it up yet. So if you have everything else besides the test, we'll make sure that you get the test in time. We're working on this in a timely fashion. I had assigned it to someone probably a month ago, and it's still not done. So I'm hoping that that's going to happen soon. And we'll probably be releasing it module by module. So I'm going to make a point of having a conversation with her and see where she's at with this and make sure that gets done. Shouldn't take that long once she gets started. Yeah. Okay. Great. Any other questions? Let's get to the juicy stuff. Any other cases? I mean, these calls are open, right? I don't have any more information to share. I could pull cases out of my head and start talking about them if you want. But when we come to these calls, if there's no questions, no comments, no sharing, then we're done. And I get to go get my lunch instead of having to go till 5:30 tonight before I get anything. So Yeah, so questions, comments, star two? No? Anybody want to share? Oh, this is a good question. Maria, what are your recommendations of an app to record sessions, either phone or in person? Yes, so there's a number of ways. If you are doing it in person, a real easy way to do it is just use your iPhone. And there's apps, you know, there's so many of the recording apps. There's Notepad. Let me see what one I have. There's, if you have an iPhone, and probably on a, what are those other ones called? Androids? You probably have one, too. There's one called Quick Voice that I've used. There's Evernote, where you can download Evernote, which I absolutely adore, and then you can take notes and record there. What else? I think there's one other on here. So, yeah, look at your iPhone. Look for that. If you're doing it online, there's a number of ways you can do it. There are recorders for Skype, so if you're having a Skype conversation. There's one that I have, and I haven't moved it over to my Windows 8 machine. It's still on my other one. I think it's called EVAER, and it cost me like $30. And that will record Skype conversations and also Skype video sessions as well. So that's it. And there are a number of others that record. So just I would do a Google search on that. Now, if you want to use a teleconference line, that's how I record a lot of my sessions. I use Instant Teleseminar, which costs, but there's something called Free Teleconference, which you can get, and they'll record your sessions for you, and you can do it that way. So there's a number of them. Oh, let's see. Lynn just put one up there. nchsoftware.com, software recording. Let me click that and see what that looks like. Oh, there's a whole bunch of them on there, yeah. Yeah, so there's a number of them. The ones I've used for in-person would be on my iPhone. I just click the button and do it there. And then the ones I've used on the computer, Free Conference Pro is one. Instant Teleseminar, if you have that. I know a couple of you do have that. You could do the Skype recorder. You could do a Google Hangout, and they can record that automatically for you, but then you have to convert it from the video format to the audio format. I use Camtasia a lot of times when I'm doing my screenshots, so even if I don't, I can do Camtasia. As long as you have them on the mic and you're speaking, you can do that to record a Skype call. So there's a number of things that you could use. Hope that helps. Let's see. Laura, what if I have a client? I do not have a client that you're currently working with on blood sugar. I have a client that I'm working with, but our focus is mainly addressing leaky gut and adrenals. I've tried to get her to check her blood sugar levels, but she was too fearful with a history of eating disorder. She said it would be too much for her. I understand. Yeah, I totally get it. So what I would do is just you've got to have people that you can work with that are, you know, friends, family members, or each other. You know, you can just pair up and be each other's clients and, you know, work through it that way. And, you know, do your intake. You have to do your intake and report. So you can actually team up with each other, a family member, a colleague from school. There's a number of ways that you could do it, right? We gave you the opportunity during Before Be Gone to bring somebody in to do that. A number of ways. Yeah, don't be afraid to ask people, and don't be afraid to do it with your mother. Yeah. Yeah, great. So Laura just put out there, that's a great idea. If anybody would like to team up, let me know. So, yeah, use each other to do it. It's a great way, a great opportunity, and then you can help each other. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's still a case study, Lynn. Yay. Who else? I have a question. I have a hand up. It's Ocean View, Delaware. Is that, who is that?
It's me. It's Jennifer.
Jennifer. Oh, hi.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm like, who's in Delaware? It's a completely blank. It doesn't have any name there at all, so I can't even guess.
It's a Skype number. That's why it comes through that way. But,
okay. Got it.
Well, I do have something interesting. I had posted on the Facebook page about this, but it's still happening, and it's a question with one of my clients. It's a pattern that is confusing me, so I figured I'd bring it up today since you wanted some juicy cases.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He is one of the most compliant clients I have ever had in my life. He's fabulous. His wife is great. They both get on the calls with me, and we go through a lot of information. So he started testing his blood sugar. And although I don't see any issues there or issues with the patterns, you know, to indicate an insulin problem, he is presenting with blood sugar in the morning that is fairly normal. It's in the low 80s.
Okay.
But no matter what he eats for breakfast, it will drop 12 to 15 points 1 hour after, and then it comes back to normal, or very close to normal, 2 hours after. So I have tried every macronutrient combination. I have tried every food. I have even attempted to switch his supplements, like from at night, I had him on some to see if we could regulate that, to the morning, and nothing is changing this. I just don't have an answer for this one.
Interesting. And is he symptomatic when it goes down? Is he feeling lightheaded? Is he feeling irritable?
No, he is not.
Okay. Does he have other health issues that he's working with? Does he have the extra belly fat, fatigue?
No, he does have the fatigue. He's on the very slim side. He'd like to gain a few pounds. And we went through a period of time where he was crashing right after lunch. And by working with the foods and the macros, got him back to a place where I felt like his leptin cycle was adjusted correctly. So now, you know, he made it through the day with lots of energy. He ate dinner and then would slowly get tired, you know, as he got closer to bed. So every part of this has worked out perfect, and I don't have symptoms, you know, from him.
Right.
But the blood sugar still drops.
Blood sugar is weird. So is it just breakfast or is it other things, other areas? Just breakfast. Well, you know, I'm thinking about this, right? What could that be? And he's eating the right breakfast, like a more protein versus carb breakfast?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you're saying it doesn't matter, though. If he ate a donut for breakfast, it wouldn't bring his blood sugar up?
I don't think it would.
Okay. But have you tried any higher glycemics? I know donuts are probably not something you want to go, hey, let's test this with a donut. But fruit or blueberries or strawberries or pineapple.
We tried that a lot with the bananas because he does like smoothies for breakfast.
Yeah.
I even encouraged him to add in some starchy carbs like sweet potatoes or even rice. He makes a list for me. He fills out my sheet every day. And every food that I can think of is recorded on here. I just don't know what else to try. And I'm also to the point just wondering, maybe this is normal for him.
Right. I was just going to say that. You know, so it's morning time. There could be some other physiologic mechanisms going on. Does he get the increase during that? You said in about an hour later it drops. But what's happening in that first hour?
He did test it for me every 15 minutes.
Yep.
And it just slowly goes down after the 30-minute mark.
Okay, so it stays at 85 or whatever it is to begin with?
Uh-huh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it just stays at 85 all the way to 30 minutes?
Yeah.
And then
it continues down.
You know, what's his blood sugar at night before he goes to bed?
It's in a very normal range. I mean, he's got great numbers. I'm going to say it's probably 88, 89.
Okay, and then throughout the day, if he measures it at other times, is he pretty much staying in those 80s?
He is. His patterns are beautiful. They really are.
So he never goes up at all. It never goes above 85, is what you're
not
saying, right?
Morning.
It doesn't go up.
No,
but what about after eating, like a meal at lunch? Does it go up a little and then come down? Or
yes, it'll go up
so
to
normal for the rest
maybe
of the
99, 100. Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to say it's probably normal for him. I don't know how to explain it other than he's eating a low glycemic breakfast, even if he's not. He has very good sugar handling. I don't think it's overproducing insulin because he would be at the point where it would happen more than just in the morning. I would say that if it's going bad 12 points, let's say it's 85 to start, it goes down to 73. That's a really nice, healthy blood sugar level.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he may be higher when he first wakes up because of the cortisol, and then everything settles down. The cortisol starts to go down. Does he experiment with the time that he eats the breakfast? Like if it's first thing in the morning or if it's at 11 o'clock, does that matter?
Yeah, we've not experimented with that because he's on a pretty set regimen.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't even think to ask him, you know, to try that.
Well, sometimes on weekends, right, they sleep later, they get busy in the house, and then they don't get to breakfast, or they have a plan to have breakfast later. Sometimes that happens. But I was just curious to see if it's something related to the cortisol levels, right? The cortisol is really high at that hour. The cortisol is looking for glucose, and it will make it. And if it doesn't make, if it has it in the bloodstream, it won't make it, right? It won't go do gluconeogenesis if it's finding all this good protein and glucose in the blood. It won't, but maybe it's creating a trigger reaction that just causes him to burn it. But I think that given it's just 12 points versus going down into the 50s or 60s, it's still at a very healthy level. He's asymptomatic. He's not feeling lightheaded or starving or anything. You've got some of those other things balanced throughout the day. I'm just going to say it's his normal pattern.
And at this point, I am willing to accept that.
Yeah. You know, numbers, there's numbers and there's reality, right? And the numbers are good because they give us some objective way to measure reality. But really, when it comes down to it, it's really what's happening in reality.
Exactly. And I agree with that. He was experiencing early on some night terrors. And we were seeing higher blood sugars back then. This is several months ago.
Yeah.
But I also had, you know, cortisol testing on him, and that complemented the blood sugar because it was showing me that he was very high in cortisol when he was getting up in the morning. But when those, you know, started to alleviate, then we saw everything drop to where, you know, it should be in the normal range.
Yeah. What about the, did you go back and do the cortisols? I'm just curious about that.
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm waiting on a Dutch test. I wanted to do a more in-depth understanding of, you know, what was going on there.
Right.
So I'm waiting for those to come in.
Good. So that'll give you a clue as to whether it's related to the pattern. You know, sometimes those cortisol patterns do take a while if they're high, and even if he's not having the night sweat terrors anymore, that there could be some things going on with that. But, yeah, sometimes we can't. This is really critical that we understand. Sometimes we can't explain everything exactly, right? But we have to look, is it within normal range? Are they asymptomatic? Does everything else look good? And, you know, if he was waking up with a blood sugar of 220, I don't care how good he feels. That's a problem, right? I don't care what he says he feels. It's a problem. Right? Because we know the dangers of it. But, you know, keeping his blood sugar in the range of 75 to 90, to me, seems like he's keeping his risk down really low.
I agree. I really do.
Yeah. So I just let it go.
And I shall do that. I'm at that point.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Good work with all. It sounds like you're really being thorough with him and awesome. We all want clients like that, don't we? That'll just do what we say and we'll monitor.
I know.
Oh man. Lucky you.
I know. He's my favorite.
Oh, you know, and that's the thing. As you're building your business, I don't know where you are in your business at this point. You may already have a big, thriving practice. But if, as you're building your business, you find these people that you just absolutely adore working with. And that's what you set as your goal. This is my ideal client. This is who I want to attract. And you speak to those people, you know, when you're creating marketing materials, when you're doing your calls, and you attract them in. Unfortunately, in that case, there's not as many of them especially
it's
males.
Well, it's true, but one thing I have learned that has worked the best for me, and I just want to share this real quick, is just the fact of setting up the initial expectation of the client.
Yes.
Understanding that, I mean, just eliminates so many problems.
Tell us how you do that.
Well, when I talk to the client, I tell them how I work, and then I have the chance to ask them a ton of questions. When I go that deep with them, with the questions, then I have the understanding of what they're expecting. And I ask them specifically, what do you expect? How are you seeing this vision of the next 4 months that we're going to work together? And what do you see along the way? And a lot of times, they might not have an answer for me right away, but the next time we have a session, I will revisit that. And then they're able to answer that question. Because I found out early on that people, some of my clients would have these expectations of, okay, now I'm seeing a new practitioner, so I'm going to get better. And, you know, I absolutely want them to get better, but this is about teaching them self-care and how to take care of themselves and to understand what to expect. So when I changed that up, that made all the difference in the world, and I really end up with a lot of good clients.
Wow. That's awesome. That's really
awesome.
Because a lot of us, you know, you go into this thing, especially when you're first starting out, you go into this thing and you're like, oh, okay, a client, okay, yeah, what do they need? What do they want? I'm going to tell them all this stuff. But if you're not really clear of setting the expectations up front and finding out what they really want, like some people don't want that. They don't want for themselves what we want for them. I mean, we want them to be vibrant and healthy, and we want everything, and they just want their shoulder pain to go away. They just want their shoulder pain to go away, you know? And if you can give them symptomatic relief, I've had this with chiropractic stuff where they just want this. I'm like, but I need to teach you these exercises so I don't have to keep adjusting your neck every week. You know, no, oh, no, no, I just keep coming back and let you adjust my neck every week. It's easier than doing the exercises. I'm like, okay, what are you going to do? But it's, I think it's really important that you tune into what they really want. So thank you.
Well, you know, I kept hearing that they were very, like some of the women were very frustrated with sticking to the diet plan. Now, this is a list of foods, and I teach them to manipulate their macronutrients. And you know, we have diet check records, and, you know, it's very intense. But they would come to me and they would say, well, I can't have milk. And they'd be very upset with me. And it dawned on me that they didn't understand. I wasn't keeping them from the milk. When they drank milk, it would upset their stomach. So their bodies were keeping them from the milk. So we had to get back in line like that, too, to show, you know, that they were working on these things. And they had to understand how these foods made them feel, that no one was controlling it. I'm not a doctor. I'm not telling them what to do. They're learning what to do themselves. So,
right.
It's been fun, though.
Oh, great. How long have you been in practice?
About a year and a half now.
Good for you. It sounds like you've made some really nice progress in those kinds of things a lot of people still don't get. So I've talked to people who I've known for 30, have been in practice for 25 or 30 years, and they still let their clients control them in the way that they want this, but they don't want to do this, but they do want to do this, and they're frustrated because they're not getting the results. And you know, you just being able to say to somebody, look, I wish that you could just eat anything you wanted and I had a magic pill that you could take that was herbal and no side effects and was good for nature and good for everybody, but that would give you the results. And when you find that, you let me know, because I have a lot of other people who would like it. But right now, we know that there's a cause and effect thing that goes on, right? You do this, it causes this. Well, maybe you drink milk and you get a stomach ache, and somebody else drinks milk and they get a headache, and somebody else drinks milk and they feel supercharged and great. We have to find out what works for you. You don't want to eat somebody else's diet. I always tell people, whatever their name is, I'll say, Mary, I'm not going to put you on the Zone diet. I'm not going to put you on a raw foods diet. I'm not going to put you on a paleo diet. I'm going to put you on the Mary diet.
Yeah,
and they laugh.
That's it.
Right? But that's it, right? Exactly. I want to find out what works for you. We're going to give you guidelines if these things generally don't work for anybody. Let's just stay away from them, right?
Yeah.
And these things generally work for everybody, but they may not for you. And let's just define your parameters within the scope of your goals. So it's just really a great perspective. So I appreciate you sharing it.
My clients, they're famous for saying, but I eat healthy foods.
Oh, yeah.
I eat whole foods.
Yes.
And that's exactly what you said. I say to them, but are they the right foods for you?
For you.
That's what we don't know.
That's right.
So.
That's right. And we have to avoid being dogmatic with each other as well as with our clients, right? Because you may be talking to another practitioner, maybe you're having a discussion on Facebook, they go, you have to get the person to do this. The reason that they're sick is because they're eating that. And you're like, that's not necessarily true.
Right? Exactly. I believe what you just said, like 150%.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Good.
Right,
well, thank you. This has been fun.
Well, thank you. Take
you're
care.
Welcome. You too. Okay, now we have, it looks like Glenn, Claro, Texas, so I'm assuming it's Glenn. Hi, Glenn.
Hello, Rita Marie. How you doing?
I'm good. It's great to hear you back on the call.
I had a question for, was that Jennifer?
Yep.
About her client. What did she say he was having at night? I thought she said he was having something at night.
His blood sugar, she said, was more of, he was having night terrors. You know, when
night
you wake
terrors?
Up in the middle of the night with those nightmares that wake you up and you're in a cold sweat and you're like, oh! Yeah, he was having night terrors. Yeah.
His cortisol was spiking?
Oh, yeah. That would cause your cortisol to spike, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I know. I do the same thing.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that was my question.
Yeah. Thank you. How's it going for you?
I'm still working along. Some days I can do more than others.
Great.
And I have a question about the insulin resistance certification.
Yep.
If we're going to get that, we have to get it by, you said, by the end of April?
No. You're in NEPT, so you're covered. You've already paid your certification fee. It doesn't matter. This is for people who are just in the IRSPT.
Okay. Okay. So if I get my NEPT certification, that will cover the.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. That's what I thought. I just wanted to check.
Yeah, absolutely. But a lot of people want to have that certificate to put on their wall sooner rather than later. So that's why we're offering that. But there's no extra charge for people in NEPT.
Okay.
Okay. I hope that clears it up. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Anyone else? I see Cassandra and Mia and Tony and Chris. Oh, no, Chris. Who's Chris? Let me open up Chris's line. And maybe you have a totally different name, but Chris in Westchester. Hello.
Oh, hello. Hi, hello. It's Violaine.
Oh,
Violaine.
Okay.
How are you?
I figured it was going to be somebody that I knew, but that the name was showing up crazy. Okay, just thought I didn't want to put you on the spot, but I just wanted to see who you were because I didn't recognize your name.
Now you know. Chris is my husband.
Good. Oh, Chris is your husband. Great.
Yes.
Thank you.
But I have a quick question.
Sure.
Too. I ordered the BioHealth test for the adrenals.
Yes.
And how do I register myself under my name? That I think I can figure out. But my client.
Once you get yourself registered, there's a way, and Lynn is going to be the one that's going to, like, Lynn's doing all that paperwork kind of stuff, so I don't know the exact mechanism, but I think once you register yourself and you get an account, then you want to go in on your account and you order your client one for your client.
What I did is I ordered one test through your website, and I ordered one test as I opened an account. And that one, so I got two tests that way, so it's different.
Okay, so you have two tests now. One is through me and one, okay. So when you submit the test, you have your patient, so take the one, say the one that you submitted, you got through me, right, because that'll be cleaner, right? Take the one you got from me, give that to your patient, and have them fill out the form for themselves and just submit it, that's all.
Okay, so she'll put her name, and then we'll find her under her name.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. And then the other one I got through opening an account.
Right.
And I think I got the wrong test. I got the 205.
The 205 is what they get. If you have that free coupon, that's what they give you is a 205, which is really cool.
So I guess I'll start with that.
Yeah.
I'll start with that now that I have it.
That was very generous of them to give us the 205. Yeah. So use that one for you. But now your client's report will not come through your account. It'll come through us, and then Scott will forward it to you. So what you might want to do is when you're about to submit it, because you ordered it under your own name through us, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So what you want to do is drop a note to scott@drreedamarie.com and say, this is Violaine, and I ordered this test for me, but I'm actually going to have my client do it. So when the test results come back in, please ship it to me.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. Okay, great. So I won't get with that 205, I don't get the nighttime cortisol. Is that right?
It doesn't give you the nighttime cortisol. If you want to add that, write to Scott and ask him if he can ask them to add that to it. I think it's probably $20 or $30 extra to add it.
Okay, so I can get that part through you? Okay. Because that one is the one I got through
them.
Well,
you should be able to ask them, too. I mean, you just...
Okay, then I'll ask them.
Yeah, if
I
it's a 205 and they get it, yeah, you can just say, hey, I want to pay extra. I want to get the extra nighttime vial. Can you send me
Yeah,
one?
I'm just going to give them a call and
clarify
that.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Okay, great. Well, I'll start with that. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Cassandra.
Hello, Dr. Rita Marie. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How about you?
Good, good. So I kind of got on the call late, so I don't know. But I do have two questions for two different clients that I am working with.
Okay.
One client I have been working with for the last, it's almost going on 3 months. Well, yeah, it'll be almost ending with 3 months. And we did, and I've mentioned her a couple times in the Facebook group. I did the cleanse with her. She was the one who was having like that, the bowels going very rapid and things and headache and everything. And all that's been fine tuned. So we're working more on her, blood sugar. Now she had her A1C done a couple years ago, and it was 5.6. She doesn't want to go get labs done now because every time she goes to the doctor always comments on her weight, so she's waiting to get those done. But she's bought a meter, a blood glucose meter, and she's been taking her blood glucose consistently. And it's interesting because her fasting blood glucose has been coming up pretty high, like 95, between 95 and like 102. Mm. But like during the day, she's probably the highest it's been is maybe like 125. So we've really been looking at different things. Like she's stopping eating at, like I'm looking at her things right now, like at 7:15, she's getting to bed at 10. She's waking up around 6 or 7, taking her blood glucose at that time. Even when she's going to bed, she's not eating a high carb. Like, okay, so this was one day. 8 a.m., her blood glucose was at, it was 99. She had water and lemon. She had some gluten-free waffles that were made with quinoa with some coconut oil. It went up to 105, 110, 112, 97, 87. Then she had a handful of raw almonds and Korean salad bowl with shrimp. It was 107, 90. 94, then she had a bean soup and went up 88, 103, 104. Then she had a for dinner at around 8. She had like an almond milk shake with berylina and a couple handfuls of goji berries. And then the next day her blood glucose was 95. Mm. So she's eating, and even that day it was 95, and then it went up. The highest it went up was like 125, but that's when she had rice and stuff. And we realized that like the carbs, like her, the rice and quinoa and stuff, does make it go over, 110.
Right.
So I'm really working on like how is she sleeping? Like she says, before she goes to bed, a lot of times she'll take a shower or an Epsom salt bath. Doing some deep breathing, doing some journaling. She says when she wakes up, she feels rested. She does have a dog. She, like, does foster. She has foster dogs. And she did say that he has been waking her up earlier, and that's been a little stressful for her. So I'm thinking that could be going on that's giving her the high blood glucose in the morning. And she did start, though, this past week, the chromium. So she's taking that in the morning.
Oh, she's just started it. Okay.
Yes, she just started the chromium. Okay. Last week, she's doing like 200 in the morning, 100, and then 200 in the evening. And she's been taking magnesium glycinate. Then the starter on the DHA, the nut starter on that. She does do the vitamin C, the buffered vitamin C.
Okay.
And starter on the L, the powder, the Glutamax powder with the, because I think she's got some
good stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, so I'm just wondering, and I'm thinking maybe with the, so I've really told her about, like, just testing and anything that's making her blood sugar over 110 to stop that until
right.
we start, you know, get it regulated,
right.
Her
absolutely.
Blood. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's a permanent, I mean, I think that's a permanent guideline, you know, if somebody occasionally has something that makes it go above, but I think in general for long-term health and well-being and balance, keeping below 110, that's not just a during the reset phase. That's
right.
That's a forever thing. And the point is, though, with that is that you expand the range of foods that you could do that with. You know, I was talking to somebody just last week, and when she first started, if she ate even blueberries or apples, her blood sugar went above 120. And so she stopped eating that completely, and she stayed away from it for a good 4 to 6 months, and meanwhile doing a lot of other stuff. And she recently tried it again, and she even ate a banana and didn't go above 110. So it really, it shifted. It does
right.
shift, right? Now, the thing I'm hearing is it sounds like she's eating frequently throughout the day, because you mentioned different multiple meals. So you might want
right.
to talk to her about spreading things out a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, making sure she has that 3 hours. So you did say 7, and she goes to bed at 10, so that seems reasonable.
See, the other thing that she's not doing that we've been working on is movement, exercise. She's
yeah.
not getting that in at all.
At all. So here's what you could start her with that might have the most profound effect on the morning. Is like tell her about an hour and a half to 2 hours before she goes to bed. So about an hour and a half after eating, and so midway between eating and bed, is to just do 2 minutes of bursting. You know, if she has
okay.
a staircase, she could run up and down. If not, she could stand at her desk and squat. She can hold a 5-pound bag of rice in her arms and squat up and down, you know, but 2 minutes of that.
Okay.
And I've seen that dramatically lower some people's blood sugar in the morning.
Okay.
Okay. Now, the other thing is she sleeping through the night? Is she, you said the dog wakes her up
early,
but
is yeah, she does say, yeah, she says she is. She says she's, well, sometimes. Now, she did, a couple of weeks ago, she did exercise, and she went way beyond. She, like, did an hour. This is somebody who doesn't really exercise. An hour of a Zumba tape, and she didn't have on the proper shoes.
Ooh.
And so she ended up hurting, and she already has some degenerative disc things. And so she ended up, like, straining her back, and
uh-oh.
So she wasn't sleeping well then. And I did say, well, if you have stress, you know, pain causes stress, and that can, you
right.
know, increase your blood sugar, too. So that
absolutely.
Could be going on. So
absolutely, that could be going on for sure. And she just started the chromium less than a week ago. So I think between the chromium and getting her to do that 2 minutes of exercise before bed, whatever it is to her tolerance, even if it's sitting in a chair or whatever position her back doesn't hurt her, and, you know, lifting a 5-pound bag or a 2-pound bag of flour or whatever, that can be helpful as well. Just something that gets her moving and heart rate up.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing was the other thing that you said. So the spacing was a little off. She just started the supplements. She's not exercising. And what about stress throughout the day? Is she doing her heart math?
Well, I did think that was some, yeah. I've been telling, you know, well, suggesting, recommending to do more breathing. And her job has been a little more intense in the last couple of weeks. And really taking some time. And she's even willing to go, like, take some time to breathe, or even going up and down the steps. Because I guess she's three or four flights up during that time, too.
Okay. Yeah.
Taking some breaks to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So she just has a little fine-tuning to do, that's all. She's not way off, but she just has a little fine-tuning to do to keep it going. And by the way, you can get her to do the A1C through Direct Labs if she's willing to do that. 25 tests or something, you know. She doesn't need a
doctor. Okay, yeah, maybe we'll do that. Yeah, because I really would like to see, because this was like 2 years, and I don't know.
Right, you don't know what's changed, and it was good.
Yeah,
you were borderline then, so where is it now? It should be better, given what you've been doing with her.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's good. And so another question, but it's kind of, it's interesting, because my other client, it's, what's sugar related. And I have actually been working with her for like 6 months, and wow, she's made significant shifts and changes. And now her blood sugar, though, tends to be very good when she tests it during the day. And in the, and I've mentioned to her before, like her morning one is like 70, 80, even. I mean, she's, it's really good. But she recently just had her labs done, and her A1C was, let me see, I want to say, it's either 5.6 or 5.7. And it was kind of like the same as she had it done a year ago, and I wasn't working with her at that time, and it was the same. Now, she does exercise. She does do exercise. She goes to bed at 10 p.m., wakes up at 6, but now her job is extremely stressful, and we've been working on taking breaks. She works from home. Well, sometimes she can, she a lot of times works from home, taking breaks during the day and doing breathing. Like, I even send her reminders to breathe during the day, because she just doesn't, she just forgets to breathe. But it was just kind of interesting that hers stayed the same. She was doing chromium, and she stopped, and I told her she needs to, and she hasn't ordered more. I'm hoping she's ordered more since I last seen her, which was a week ago. But
yeah, it's interesting. People think that, they, you know, they get on supplements, and then they kind of feel like they're doing better, and then they stop them. And really what you want to know, you want to figure out, well, are they better because they're on the supplements and they're doing their thing, and then when you stop. So it's like you have to just gradually wean them off and do it consciously. Even if you are going to stop it dramatically, you have to do it consciously where you're paying attention to it. And unfortunately, things can creep up. So, you know, a week of no chromium might not hurt, but 2 weeks of it might start to throw the blood sugars off. So it's just, it's all a matter of really tuning into each individual. But it sounds like he's doing a lot. It's just, you know, the perfection isn't there yet. Now, the other thing with A1C, and we're never striving for perfection. That wasn't what I really meant. But it's not as close to what she might need. But the point about A1C is that we're finding that it tends to be less accurate in really fit people. So it doesn't sound like that's the case for either of your people. Like, if they're, like, really super athletes and all, that because the inclination is that the red blood cells last longer. So you don't get as accurate a notice, right? So they may last 4 months instead of 3 or 5 months instead of 3 or whatever. Yeah. But the other thing you might test is fructosamine as well, because that you can do that. That's more of a monthly thing. It's kind of like A1C, but what they're looking at is amino acids that are glycosylated. And it red blood cells have a life, right? But red blood cells have a long life. So to tell the difference, you have to wait 3 months before, three or four months before you see an A1C difference. Whereas with the fructosamine, you can generally see changes in a month.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'll look at that. Yeah, no, but because they're both overweight, they're not, you know.
Yeah.
Fit,
so here's
stuff.
The deal, right? They may be eating perfectly, but if they are on a weight loss path, they've got all the fat, right, that's releasing. And then they have leptin, and they can have leptin resistance. It's going to take a while because of all the extra weight. So there's a number of factors that could be playing in.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And for her, her triglycerides, they did go down. They were 128. They went down to 112. So she's got that going on. And her LDL cholesterol, which was high, it was like 137, it went down to 129, and actually her ADHL went up to 63. Yeah, so she's got some.
So, yeah, so she's still got, look at the ratio, right? She's still got 112 to 63. She's still more than 2 to 1.
Yeah.
Or about 2 to 1. Yeah. Yeah. So there's room for improvement. And it's a process. It's going to be a process. And you're on the right track, it seems like.
Okay. All righty.
All right.
That's where I'm at. Yes.
Thank you
very
so much. great questions. All right. So that was Cassandra. Let me go to the chat to see if anybody's typed in questions. Oh, looks like we have a pair, Laura and Maria. Yay. Good. Maria, my family is in Brazil, so no, friends think they're all healthy and don't want to hear because they think I'm crazy. I had a client who's going to start on 4-1. Oh. Okay. Well, you know, if you have special circumstances, let me know about the thing. I mean, originally we were going to charge from the beginning, you know, this, and we're not talking a high fee. We're talking like $100 or something like that, $200 at the most. We just have to figure out a cost because it does cost us. The cost that it costs me is that you submit your cases. We have to go through them. We have to, you know, have the administrative work of going through them, and then I have to be involved. So that's why there's going to be a cost for it. So let's see. All right. Anyone else? Questions? Comments? Let me look at the Q&A. Oh, good. We have two of them. We have Mia and then Tony. Hi, Mia.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie. My question has to do with blood sugar rising after exercise. I noticed it happened to me a few times, and I noticed it was also a question posted on the Facebook page. So
yeah.
I'm just not clear on, you know, maybe why that would happen, because what I was reading was that it actually should do the opposite. So
it should do the opposite, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you exercise, right, and your muscles are saying, oh, great, I have the sugar in my blood. Good, I'm going to take it, and I'm going to use it to burn, right?
Right.
There's a couple of things that could cause that not to happen or to cause it to go up. Maybe the muscles do go out there and burn what sugar's there, but there's not enough available sugar, and so it's going to stores, right? It could be that the stores, you ideally want it to go to your glycogen stores. That's a steady stream, and it just gets you going. Ideally, really ideally, you want to just burn fat and have it be like the ketones that are burning rather than sugar. But that takes some doing to get your body into that mode. When you exercise and your body perceives it as a stress, like it's too intense an exercise for where you are right now, then you have an influx of cortisol. And the cortisol will go to the muscles, break them down, and turn it into sugar. And sometimes there's an overproduction of the cortisol, and it produces more sugar than you need. I've had it happen to me. I've had it happen to a lot of my clients. What I found was it would happen to me if I was especially pushing. Like if I go on a run and I go, I'm going to do these bursts, and I'm going to go, I really push, and feeling like, oh, I'm really pushing,
mm-hmm.
combined with I haven't been sleeping as much as I should or some other stress in my life.
Please.
Then I'd come back and I'd find my blood sugar way up. Okay? So I started to go, okay, don't keep pushing. Just, you know, I'd just go with the nice, gentle exercise. Come back and my blood sugar is either the same or lower.
Mm.
Right? If somebody's in the state of adrenal fatigue, even a little bit of exercise, what you might not think is pushing, is going to be considered a push, right? We know with people in adrenal fatigue, we want to cut back on their exercise, just have them do gentle aerobics 30 minutes at a time, right? No more than 30 minutes at a time.
Mm-hmm.
If you have somebody who's in adrenal fatigue and they try training for a marathon, their blood sugar is going to be up way high.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So slow down and tone down the exercise routine.
Yeah. Get it to the point where your body's not perceiving it to be a stress. And then gradually build it up as you build, but work on the adrenals as well.
Right. Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all these interactions, right?
Yeah.
It's not black and white. If it was black and white, people wouldn't need us.
I know, and it would be so much easier.
Read a book and do it.
I know. Exactly. Huh, interesting. Okay.
See?
And the other thing was my case study, it just didn't work out. I know I've sort of mentioned that before, so I'm just going to have to look for another person. But that's okay, right? We have open-ended time frame?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right.
You can do it.
Good.
Yeah, and And then just try it. You have access to the B4 site. You know,
yeah.
You can share, you know, you can take them through various pieces of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it should be good. If you're working with somebody that you can use your affiliate link and have them purchase the blood sugar balancing makeover, the 30-day blood sugar balancing makeover, which is basically the recipe guide menu planner. I hate menu planner, so I have a blank in my mind about it. The recipe guide and the menu planner for Before Be Gone, which has a lot of the guidelines. So that might be a good way for you to get somebody, if you're taking them through, is to just have them purchase the menu makeover. Or if you're giving somebody a package, you can maybe bundle that in and you purchase
for
them. Yeah.
Yeah, and you just remind me, I believe I'm having trouble with my affiliate site. Like, it just... I was trying to log in, and it said I already – anyway, it didn't work. And I sent a message to wherever it said I should send, and I just remember I didn't get a response. So is there kind of like a streamlined email or person I can write to for that?
Yeah. Did you write to helpdesk@drreadymarie.com? I'm just wondering if what you wrote was an Infusionsoft thing where they were looking for, or if it was our team.
You know, it was at this point maybe 2 weeks ago, and I had forgotten until you mentioned that, and I don't – remember, it might have been like put the question in this box and then hit submit.
So send a message to helpdesk@drreadymarie.com.
Okay.
And then put in the subject line, NEPT student needs help with affiliate.
Okay.
And that way it'll bump up. And tell me how long it takes, because we're revamping our help desk and...
Okay.
We're making sure that things don't get ignored. So my goal, my commitment, which is what I told the people on that part of it, is that I want people to get maximum 72-hour turnaround, but ideally 24 out of 48. So if somebody knows the answer, that they'll get back to you right away. And if not, that they say, hey, Mia, great question. I'm investigating it. It may take me a couple of days.
Right.
Right, but you should get a response from a real person.
Yeah.
Not just the automated response.
Okay.
Within 72,
okay.
Well, within 48 hours, but 72 at the max.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds
and if
good.
You don't, please let me know.
Sure.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Okay, bye. Okay. And Tony and then Maria. So Tony, wait a sec. There we go. Hi, Tony.
Hello, Dr. Rita Marie. How are you today?
Good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm okay. A little busy, but I'm hanging in there.
Oh, good. And I haven't responded to you yet about the summit because I've been out of town and I want to write those letters to those people, but I will.
I'm not worried about you. I know you'll stick to your commitment. It'll tell me why you can't, so I'm not worried about that.
Okay.
I know I can depend on you. That's the least of my problems.
Good.
What I have, I you may not remember this young lady. She's kind of an executive, works with the federal government. She was so stressed out she couldn't even go through the Before Be Gone program, and she said it was just too much and having to do it to the calls and all that. So I came up with a little program that was just for her. And it seemed to work out, you know, because she started out with fasting blood sugar like 148, something ridiculous like that. And now, I know. And now, you know, she's down in the 114, 106. It just depends on the day. She's all over the place from I think she had a low of 99 or 88, and then she goes all the way up to 124. And I asked her about her sleeping, and she tells me that she's getting a full 7 to 9 hours of sleep, and she's stopping eating 3 hours before. She's taking the chromium, DHA, magnesium. She's not doing a food journal, so I'm trusting her when she says that she's eating appropriately, but I'm really
skeptical,
trying to figure out, because it's either that or she's a high-stress person. I mean, highly stressed. So I'm not sure if something's going on before she goes to bed or if something's going on while she's sleeping. Maybe she's having nightmares.
Does she test her sugar before she goes to bed so you can compare them? This is critical for you guys. If somebody's saying they have their fasting blood sugar is high, you want to see, is it happening overnight or was it high before they went to bed? So if she goes to bed with a 148 or whatever, 124, and wakes up with a 124, then it's not the sleep that's doing it, it's what she's doing before that.
Before.
So you're looking at the food and the exercise. But if it, she goes to bed and it's like 100 and then she wakes up and it's 124, then there's something mm-hmm. during the night that's causing it to go up.
That's great. Thank you. I didn't think of that. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I actually have a meeting with her in the next couple of days, so that'd be great for me to get to her. And that's it. That's the only question I have so far.
Yeah, yeah. So get her to write. Is she tracking what happens after she eats foods? As she eliminated the ones that raise it.
She's very inconsistent with it, and that's because it causes her stress too. So I try to meet her halfway and say, the morning fasting one, so I can at least help you there and.
Get her to do the evening one too. Get her to do bedtime.
The evening. She does do some. She's inconsistent. She does do some lunch. She does do an occasional dinner. So I will get her to do consistently fasting and before she goes to bed. I can and maybe dinner if I can get to squeeze it in. Yeah.
And if she's not going to do the testing, what do we say to do? If they're not going to do the testing, what do we do with their diet?
I told her she had to absolutely do the diet where it's all no sugar. And she claims that that's too stringent for her because she's got to pick one or the other. I reiterated that I know. I don't have – she's not one of those I feel like she's motivated, but only motivated to a point. And I believe that if she didn't have all those stressors that she puts on herself, I think she would do this. But she's in her mind creating stress that really doesn't need to be there.
Right.
But yeah, I'm going to reiterate that. And I said this from the very beginning that I get that you're too busy to do this. Can you stick to, the no sugar diet? And then she said, well, no. Every once in a while, I want to have this. I want to have that. And that's when I said, well,
so this is where something like what Jennifer was saying at the beginning is really you really have to make it clear. That's great. I'm willing to work with you, but I can't. There's no way we're going to get the full extent of the improvement. So it depends on what you really want, right?
Mm-hmm.
It depends on what's really important to you. So if she's trying to lose the extra tire around her middle, but she's not willing to give up the sugar, we said we can't do both, right? I don't have a magic bullet or magic whatever food you can eat that's going to allow you to also eat M&Ms. I just can't do that. And so make it real clear that this is fine. I'm willing to work with you where you're at. If you had cancer and you're out, I would be way more stringent on you and I would tell you. But you don't. So it's just a matter of knowing that the results you get are proportional to how closely you're willing to stick.
Absolutely. And
put the onus on them, not you.
I will.
You don't want to take responsibility for them not wanting to do the program. You have a program that you know works. And you got to tweak it for them, of course, but you have a basic framework that works, and they have to work the program.
And you have to learn. I know the tweaking worked for her because we got it down, tremendously up to a point, and then I guess she just.
Right. And she's telling her that what I see is people will plateau. So we have to figure out what the next piece is that we need to do to get you plateaued. Maybe you need to just go 7 days without any sugar, and let's see how it goes. Maybe you just get to have the sweet stuff at dinner rather than at breakfast because of the timing issues. Like, really look at what she's doing. Have her do a day or two of food journal, even if it's a 24-hour recall. Okay, tell me what you had for breakfast yesterday. Okay, write it down. What did you have for lunch? And you do it. And then you go back through and say, okay, let's tweak this a little bit. You're not having enough protein or minerals in the morning. We need to add some probiotic foods, have some yogurt or, a non-dairy yogurt. Whatever you see in that when you write it down, you say, I'm going to give you two tweaks that we could do to this, and let's see how that goes for a week or two.
Okay. Very good. This has been very helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So we have Maria. Hello, Maria.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I got a question, and I'm struggling with this. How I answer this correctly without saying anything wrong based on what I'm reading and the common knowledge on the field. And this is for the people who actually work out a little harder. They're more high intensity kind of folks. And And basically, obviously, they're young, fairly young. You know, they're maybe late 20s, early 30s, where they're working
right.
out. They see, you know, where they're at. They feel good, and but they have other symptoms, and they don't simply kind of. I'm not sure if believe is the word, but on this trial of, you know, talking about of not eating immediately after working out if they're doing some high intensity. And I remember also listening to one of the shows that one of the guys that you interviewed, and I know that you're like, you know, it didn't seem like you agreed with him because he was sharing his side of it. If you, you know, it is best to replenish the protein, you know, after the exercise. So I'm kind of in the middle over here. I'm not really, and maybe
yeah.
I should start digging into more research to see. But
yeah.
have you got anything further on your knowledge on this?
Right.
I mean, the people that really work out.
I'm happy to share that. Yeah, but the thing is, it's going to vary from person to person. What we do know is the worst thing that you can do right after exercise is to eat carbs. Because that's
yeah.
going to spike your glucose up, that's going to spike your insulin up, that's going to decrease your growth hormone.
Right.
If you look at it theoretically, right, you'd want to take advantage of that hour and a half window where the growth hormone is high, so to keep the insulin low. On the other
right.
hand, there are studies that show that if you replenish the amino acids at about 45 minutes to an hour after, that
right.
that the muscle repair happens better. So the idea
right.
might be that at about 45 minutes after the exercise that they do something to replenish their protein.
Yeah, well, it kind of be hard, right? Unless a person, and I'm kind of, and this is me, I'm against eating just a food alone. I'm against eating just a bunch of eggs, although eggs is a kind of complex food, but you know, just going and it, you know, this protein shakes, they have all this kind of junk in it. You know,
oh,
these people
yeah.
are not doing the protein shakes that we're recommending here, right?
Right. Right. I
so they have sugar,
well.
They have...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so it's like, okay, so they barely finish and they're drinking that. And I said, oh, okay, there you go. Then you don't grow muscle, you don't know why, right? So
right.
those protein shakes, they have other,
yeah.
you know, substance and components that goes against them. But so do you think that it's still better for those kind of people to eat just, you know, protein alone, even if it is real food protein, and other than not eat, you know, because the protein is not going to be, you know, just eating protein alone is not going to be assimilated or absorbed
no,
into
green,
the body.
But, you know, the thing about it is people go, you can do, like if they had a, you know, a green something with greens. You wouldn't want to
yeah.
have them just eat a piece of fish or something. But if they are going to do that and they had it with a whole slew of vegetables, those carbs are not, those are, that's
yeah.
not going to be the slow release carbs. That's not going to shoot the insulin up. So if you want to
right.
have them do something that would keep, that's just going to not raise their blood sugar more than 10 points, then they'd be
yeah.
fine, right? But if they're eating something that causes their blood sugar to go up 20, 30 points, then they're going to get a surge of insulin. Right, but no, those
right.
shakes are horrible. But there are shakes that are fine. I mean, Elite Green
right.
Protein from Health Force Nutritionals to me would be an ideal. Right, it's just it's green and it has 16 grams of protein in it, low to no carb. Some of the pea protein would be a good one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right, hemp protein has some fat and
yeah.
and protein.
Yeah.
You know, any of that hemp seeds. I mean. Almond butter would be helpful,
right?
Right?
Yeah.
So, but you just don't want them to do those shakes that have the sugar in them or eating fruit right after exercising. You want it to be something
right.
that your body can do to build and repair, not to thwart what you just did. Yeah.
Okay, so you're in agreement for high intensity that, you know.
Yeah, they may need to have something. Yeah, sooner
yeah.
rather than later. The average, you know, kind of couch potato weekend warrior type exerciser. It's very different, especially if they're already lean. You don't want them to
right.
go burning muscle down because they have this big caloric expenditure. So, yeah, I would agree with that. But I would say probably 45 minutes from what I've seen would be a good amount of
mm-hmm.
time. not the immediate. Just give the body a chance to just, you know, settle. Half an hour even.
Right.
Just not immediate and just not those sugary things. But if they had a pea protein shake, you know, with some green powder in it, that could be ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So they're looking for something quick anyway. They're not looking for making a meal. What's that?
Yeah. That still, for some people, require work, you know. It requires work, right? You got to go home. You got to do this stuff. But, you know,
what are they doing? What are they doing now?
Oh, they're doing this, you know, they just get water, they put that junk in it, and they shake it, and that's it. I mean,
well, that's what they can do, too, but they can do a better quality, right? They can get, they can do the same thing with Sun Warrior, Warrior Food, pea protein. Health Force makes those in the little bottles that they could just dump it into a shaker cup and shake it. It's the same thing. It's just like, it's like after a meal, should I eat M&Ms or a date? Well, one of them is going to be better for you than the other. They're both just as easy to do. You just grab it and stick it in your mouth.
That's right.
Right? It's not like
you
can't tell them to go make fish and vegetables. They're not going to do that.
Yeah, absolutely not. Now, maybe that's the way. Maybe is to try to convince to change, you know, the protein shake.
Yeah, and don't try to convince. Don't try to convince.
Just point out to them
the difference. Say, look, when you do this, this is thwarting you because this has got this sugar or this has this preservative or this has this. What if you use this instead? Give it a try.
Right. Right.
Right?
Right.
Swap.
Yeah, because the net carbs are very, very small.
Yeah, the net carbs are very small. Yeah.
Okay. That's good. All right, thank you.
Great. You're welcome. And by the way, you know, most people don't realize protein causes insulin to increase. Some people will say, well, I don't understand it. They're just eating fish or beans or meat or whatever. That will cause a spike in insulin as well. And some of the studies, there's a study that I've listed in one of your modules, probably in the nutrition module, what's that, 3 or something, and that talks about, that shows some study where they tested the glucose and they also tested the insulin. And what they found is some foods did not raise the glucose, but they raised the insulin. And some of those foods tended to be like dairy products, which a lot of those shakes that Maria is talking about are whey protein-based. Whey is one of the worst ones. And then some of the other things, like I think fish was one of them, white fish. It was a particular kind of fish. So don't be fooled into thinking if somebody just eats protein, they're not going to have an insulin surge. They may not have a glucose surge, but they're having an insulin surge, which is still going to be perpetuating the insulin resistance.
Okay.
Great. All right. Anybody else? I'm going to go to the chat, and we'll see what's there. There's just some chatting. So, Maria, I'm curious. You said you have somebody that you walked through the Before We Gone and still working with her. We decided to keep her up longer than 30 days. That's fine. That's a case study that you can write up. This is where this person's at. This is where we got to. This is the changes we did see so far, and these are the things that we're going to be working with going forward. So, Maria, I just want to let you know, I just opened your lineup. I just read what you wrote. So that would be fine for your case. It doesn't have to be somebody who has a Beatrice type of a response in 3 months or you know, not 30 days or whatever, right? Yeah, so Lynn says review the certification. Absolutely. If you're still working on it, you're still working on it. You can still do it. What I want to see is that you are going through and you're accurately just going, oh, we started out this way. This is what her fasting was. This is what we got her to. This is what the supplements were. And you're writing that up, and this is where we're going to go from here. All right, let me go pull up the certifications because I think there's something confusing people. We're only asking you to take one person through the complete process and write it up. The other one is two case study write-ups, right? So this isn't that somebody that you necessarily took all the way through. You're basically doing an initial consultation with them, and you may not have done anything more than that. This person comes up with this particular set of symptoms. These are what we're going to do with her. This is what, if you did do anything, this is what we did. This is where we're at. So those two written are that way. But then the practical hours, that's where you need to talk about, like, I took this person through a whole program. So there's only one of those required. Make sense?
Oh.
It's only one of those required. The other one is you've done a write-up, you've talk to the person, and you write up what you found. As if, say, you were going to refer them to an MD down the street, and you said, or that they were referred by an MD down the street, because this happens. And you're writing back and say, you know, your patient, Mary Smith, showed up, and she had this, this, and this. Her weight was this. Her blood sugar was this. We went through a program. This is what we're planning to do with her. And I just want to keep you posted. Make sense? Yeah, so sorry if that was confusing that you had to actually take them through and actually have stunning results. It's just a matter of, I want to see that you know the process. And the reason is, if you're going to be listed on my website as a certified blood sugar coach or insulin resistance coach, I have to know what your process is going to be, that if I send somebody there or somebody comes to my site and then finds you, that they're going to get good process, that you know what you're doing. Make sense? Okay, so what else? Sequoia says, how does a person do vitamins? They're already doing magnesium to bowel tolerance. Well, it's a different mechanism, first of all. So what I recommend you do if you're trying to do both to bowel tolerance, you do one, you get them to bowel tolerance, which means there before they hit their bowel tolerance, right? And then you add, Lynn, you're so funny. Then you go ahead and you start it, and you'll be surprised. They'll get to their bowel tolerance on vitamin C, say. Say they're taking 20 grams of vitamin C a day because that's their bowel tolerance, right? And then you add magnesium, you might get them up to 400 or 500 milligrams of magnesium before they get it. Okay, let's see. These things go. Yeah, that one, Maria mentioned the Quick Voice will work. Skype has a recording tool, EAVAER. I don't know how to say it. EVR? AVR? That's the one I've used. Okay, I've typed a question into the Q&A box in the webinar, so this might be duplicated, but I'm asking if one of our classes of IRSBT certification can be ourselves if we've got the numbers to show improvement. Sure, but write it up as if it's somebody else. Absolutely. Absolutely. But I want to see that you've taken you have to have all the steps involved there, but absolutely. I prefer it not be you, but only one of them can be you, right, obviously. And Janira, I'm a very compliant client, yes. Okay, Sequoia, TTAP has put a lot of emphasis on lymphatic stimulation throughout the workout. It only helps the body maximize metabolic processing, but it helps improve immune function. That's why those who have autoimmune diseases, such as chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, get great benefits from TTAP. I must have missed the question about TTAP. Where's Sequoia? Let's see, maybe it's at the beginning. What if a person has chronic fatigue? How do you approach exercise and burst training when they get exhausted just getting out of bed? It's to their tolerance. It's their burst is going to be they lay in bed and they just wave their arms in the air, right? That just gets their circulation movement. They lay on their back and they flop their legs up and down. They move their arms up and down 30 seconds or maybe even 10 seconds, and they're going to go, oh, I'm done. It's very, very gentle, very, very small. Yeah. I'm going to go to the other question box because I think there's more there. So Laura, so if we're in NEPT, we don't have to rush to do the IRSP certification? Yes. No, there's no reason. See, some of you, you guys started, right? IRSPT, the blood sugar balancing, is actually Module 12. So it happens in the first year, the end of it. But some of you started early and signed up early, and we got you into IRSPT because it runs independently. So you can just go through it again at the end of the year when we do it again live. And then that answers a question that came from Patricia, which was, I'm just getting started with NEPT and IRSPT. Should I be focusing on IRSPT first? Is there a deadline to have this finished? It's Module 12. So, again, you can do it. We have it open early. You can do it whenever you want. You can do it where you just go through some of the other modules in NEPT, and if you're caught up, you go, oh, let me do some of the IRSPT. Or if you have a client that shows up with the blood sugar imbalance, you could start going through that. So that's kind of a thing, like just take it as a, you know, do a little bit of it every month, and then by the time we do it in again in the fall, you'll be caught up. So no rush on that for people in IRSPT. Allison, yay, Allison's here from England. Just managed to get home from working online. Wonderful. Okay, we took care of Violaine's. Isabel. Oh, here's a good question. What is a good app to use to send out weekly emails or newsletters that are nicely formatted? An inexpensive way to do that is Constant Contact. And other things that will work that are at the low end of cost, like I use Infusionsoft, which costs a fortune, but you can use something like iMember or iContact. Not iMember, iContact. Or what's the monkey one? Chimp, MailChimp. I think they do it too. Allison, lovely to hear everybody from the retreat. Sorry I didn't have time to think of questions. So many clients, but no time to spend with them to advise on diet. Oh, yeah. You probably have some awesome cases. Allison is an MD in the healthcare system. She works for the federal healthcare system in England. She gets 9 minutes per person. So she's working at getting herself set up on a private client so she can actually help them with their nutrition. Heidi wants to know healthy cardiovascular numbers, HDL, LDL, triglycerides, et cetera. So triglycerides and HDL is best if it's in a one-to-one ratio. So like 75 would be great, 75, 90, something like in that range for triglycerides and HDL. And then LDLs and total cholesterol, I like to see LDLs below 90, 99, not 90, but below 100, so 99 or below. So that's basically that. Okay, we got that. Biaris in the UK. That's right. You guys should see if you're near each other. You might have a study buddy. Okay, let's see. Okay, great, Patty. All right, anything else? All right, I think that's it. Let me see if anybody's hands up. Oh, we have one more hand up. We have Tony. Hello, Tony.
Hello. I just have a comment. Hopefully it'll be inspiring for people that are out there making presentations. I just want to reiterate, and I've said this to you before, your Done For You program, the Done For You presentation where I've modified it depending on the group, it always works well for me. I mean, I always get good reception, and it was amazing. This weekend I was a presenter at a live health summit. And the discussion was endocrine health with an emphasis on blood sugar.
Yeah.
And they basically, I mean, there were so many questions. They basically had to, you know, say, you guys, we'll have her in about 6 months. We'll do another summit because that information that you provide and I'm able to talk through it was very helpful. So I just want to encourage all you wonderful, talented people, don't turn down any speaking engagements, that you have everything you need right there with that Done For You program.
Yep.
That you can modify.
And you could shorten it or lengthen it, lengthen it probably not, but shorten it to whatever the focus is. If you only have 15 minutes to speak, you can take a few slides, use them as a guideline, and then edit them, modify them, change them around so that they're more suited to you personally, your color, theme, whatever.
Yes, and I just want to thank you for that and let you know how much I appreciate it.
You're very welcome, and thank you for mentioning. Yeah.
Sure.
Whew. Thanks. All right, I think we got it. I'm going to just do a refresh, and then we're going to go, and I have 5 minutes before my next call. I'm going to run down to the kitchen and grab some juice. All right. All right, and Lynn says she uses AWeber for her newsletters. AWeber is one of the more expensive ones, but it's also one of the top ones that are used in the industry. I think it costs maybe $20 a month, and then as you add more people to your list, it goes up higher. I think some of the others are like they start at $10 a month. Yep, we don't have to record doing a PowerPoint. Yep, if you're in NEPT, you have to do a PowerPoint presentation for your certification. And it's just in front of your coworkers. But, yeah, I mean, Maria, you have to look at, you know, if you get out in your community and you to go even go into health clubs and things like that, you can do amazing stuff with just the presentation you have. Just go in with a few slides and you can impress the heck out of people and they're going to want to work with you. And then you can gear it towards your athletes, you know, change up the slides, put in some stuff related to the athletes. But, yeah, you'll get comfortable with it. Oh, you have done a PowerPoint but not recorded it. Recording PowerPoints is actually quite easy. I use a program called Camtasia. They have Camtasia for Mac, which I think is only $99, and then they have Camtasia for the PC, which is a little more. But there's also some free screen share video stuff that you could do. And the other way that you can actually do a PowerPoint and record it, sort of, kind of, is on a Google Hangout. And you can actually do a screen share on a Google Hangout, and then they record it for you. So there's a number of ways you do it. You still need an editing software to be able to edit it, though, if you do it that way, because they have their logo at the top, which you'd want to cut out. The first one was Camtasia. Oh, you mean the newsletter one. Constant Contact. Constant Contact. I would say that if you're looking to grow your list and get into more step that you where you're going to want to keep autoresponders and things like that, the Constant Contact is not a good way to go. But AWeber is, and MailChimp and iContact are good. And then as far as the screen share video stuff, it's Camtasia. Okay. And some of these contacts, some of these things we have in, for NEPT people in our business module, our practice, what is it called? Business Success Systems, Practice Building Success System. We have some things that have me teaching you about this stuff, and we'll be doing more of that to help you get out there. All right, last chance. Thank you, Allison. And I look forward to speaking to you tomorrow. Okay, and that's it. Have an awesome, awesome day and weekend. And if you celebrate Easter, have a wonderful Easter. Enjoy getting out there. Hopefully it's turning spring by you. And enjoy. And I will talk to you again really soon. Bye now. Thank you for all your sharing. Bye. Tony, I still see your hand up. Did you put it up again?
Oh, you know how I do. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I just wanted to make sure. Sometimes people do that at the end, and they have one more question and hope that I see it. So,
I apologize.
Yeah, okay. No problem. Okay.
Don't get your juice.
Great. Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.